Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel for Invocabit Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent. Then Jesus said to the devil, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is God's word. I don't use a whole lot of sermon illustrations about sports. You might be surprised, because if you know me outside of church, you know I am a big sports junkie. And yet here today, you got this rivalry, right? Jesus and the devil. And I kind of couldn't resist. And you know what it reminds me of? Michigan, Ohio State. Some of you know how painful that is for me to say. Because you know Michigan ain't Jesus in this description. Because you have to win to even be compared to Jesus. Michigan's lost to Ohio State 8 years in a row, 14 of the last 15 years in a row. So for those of you who don't follow sports, that pains me. Michigan will have a good year or a semi-good year. They get to Ohio State. It's just, you can count on it every year. Ohio State is going to beat in Michigan's heads. And this last year after Ohio State beat Michigan, I think it was like 56-27 or something like that. Ohio State's quarterback, Justin Fields, was asked, "Why do you think it is that you guys have such dominance over Michigan?" And he said something that kind of stunned me, but I thought it was probably true. He said, "I just think we take it more seriously than they do, I think. We prepare for it all year," he said. "We're preparing for them next year right now. I think it just means more at Ohio State. That's pretty much, I think, the biggest reason why we have more success than they do." Now, Ohio State sends all kinds of players to the NFL every year. They have far more talent than Michigan. They generally have better coaching than Michigan. They don't need, probably, to be thinking about beating Michigan all year long. But they do anyway. Because even though they are a superior opponent to their rival, they never take their rival for granted. And that's the point of contact I want you to focus on today. Two rivals in our gospel, Jesus and Satan. And obviously, one is no match for the other. The devil is no match for Jesus Christ, Son of God, God in human flesh, God walking and living among us, come for the salvation of the world. But as Jesus would show us, we should never, ever take our rival, our enemy, for granted. You know, a lot of people today even question whether or not the devil is real, which I find kind of stunning, because no one denies that evil is real. If there's evil in the world, and we don't doubt that evil exists. Coronavirus, shootings at Molson Coors in Milwaukee, hurricanes and earthquakes, natural disasters, hatred and division over politics, over religion, over all sorts of different things. We don't doubt that evil exists. Why is it such a stretch to accept that there is an evil being who sows all that wickedness, who's behind all of it? One of the best movies, in my opinion, of the last 30 years was the movie The Usual Suspects. It starred Kevin Spacey, and I know he's had a kind of fall from grace over the last couple of years, but he plays this character that they call Verbal. And he's a guy who's Well, I could probably spoil the end because, I mean, the movie's 25 years old. And if you haven't seen it, I mean, come on. He plays a man who's impersonating a man with a handicap. And he's actually a mass murderer. And he's in this whole, throughout the movie, he's in this interview with the police. And he says, as he's actually this mass murderer they're trying to find, and they don't know it. He's just this man portraying himself as having a handicap. He says, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. If you don't believe the devil is real, how can you guard yourself and protect yourself from the devil? An opponent who doesn't know that he has an opponent out there is unaware, is unprotected. And by convincing and sowing doubt in his very existence, which you would think the devil would want everyone to know he's very real because he's very arrogant. He's very self-centered. I mean, how arrogant can you be? He takes on Jesus. He knows he has no chance in that fight, and yet he does it anyway. Pride and arrogance are his game, and yet most of the world will deny there even is a devil. So we as the church, we must be aware that he is very, very real. He's real, and he's powerful. That's right. He has no match against Jesus, but don't be misled. This devil is incredibly powerful and has tricks up his sleeve. The book of 2 Corinthians, Paul says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Now in the Bible, when you come across light, light is a good thing, right? In the beginning, God says, let there be light, and there is light. Jesus in Gospel of John calls himself the light of the world, the light that no darkness overcomes. We are told by the epistles to walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light. Light is good. So the devil, one of his tricks is to masquerade as an angel of light, as something that is appealing, as something that is good. I want you to notice how he does it today in our readings. When he encounters Adam and Eve in the garden, what's his tactic? What does he do to Adam and Eve? His first words to the woman are, did God actually say? He invites Adam and Eve to doubt what God has said. And then, arrogant fool that he is, he tries the same tactic on Jesus. He calls into doubt God's own word, and then he tries to do it with Jesus. And then, I'm telling you, this ought to scare us a little bit. To see the devil quoting Holy Scripture. Throw yourself down off the pinnacle of the temple, Jesus. Is it not written? He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. Because someone or something quotes the Bible, talks about Jesus-y things, does not mean it's from God. Because the devil himself is a very knowledgeable student of the Scriptures. And he will use them to deceive. Scripture calls him a deceiver. The book of Revelation calls him the great deceiver sent out to deceive the nations. His name, Satan, means adversary. He is powerful. Scripture calls him, your adversary, the devil, is like A lion who prowls around seeking someone to devour. Dear friends in Jesus, the devil is real. And he is powerful. But he is also, thanks be to God, defeated. There's a neat little thing that happens in the Gospels, and you don't see it when you hear the readings week in and week out here in church. But if you were to read through the Gospel of Matthew on your own, you would notice this, and it might strike you as odd. Our reading today comes from Matthew chapter 4. It starts at verse 1. It's always interesting to see, well, what comes right before this? Before Jesus is tempted by the devil in the wilderness, what happens before that? The interesting thing is, in chapter 3, at the very end, verse 17, Jesus has been baptized. The clouds open, the sky opens, the Holy Spirit comes down on him like a dove, and God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Father says he's pleased with his Son Jesus. And then what happens? The Spirit kicks him out and sends him into the wilderness. Now go do battle with the devil. Isn't that stunning? Here, Son, I am pleased with you. Now the Holy Spirit drives him into the wilderness. Wow. He's the Son who pleases the Father, and he comes for this very reason, to do battle with the devil. To do battle with the devil for you. Because you can't overcome him. You don't have the tools in and of yourself. You have no resources to defeat Satan. But Jesus Christ does. So he comes on your behalf, the one who pleases his Father, and he goes out in the wilderness to do what you can't do. To do what Adam and Eve could not do. To do what Israel could not do. You see, it's not a coincidence that Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. I love the beginning of Matthew's account of this. He was fasting in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. Thanks, Captain Obvious. You think? I bet he was hungry. And yet, when Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they were hungry, they complained, they whined, they bickered. They spoke against the God who had delivered them and accused him of sending them out there to die. They could not resist the temptations of the devil. But Jesus could, and Jesus did. Israel sinned over and over and over for 40 years in the wilderness. Adam and Eve fell into sin when they were confronted by the devil. You and I do as well. We fall into sin, maybe because we've shortchanged the power the devil has. But thanks be to God, Jesus is the victor, the champion, the conqueror over Satan. He overcomes the devil for you. He overcomes the sin that is within you, that you've inherited from Adam and Eve, because you know you're descended from them. What do we do when we're tempted, when we're attacked, when it seems as though Satan is overpowering us and overcoming us? Run to Jesus. And every one of you, knows where to find him. Martin Luther writes in the Large Catechism, he says, "Now what is the devil? Nothing other than what the scriptures call him, a liar and a murderer. He is a liar to lead the heart astray from God's word and to blind it so that you cannot feel your distress or come to Christ. He is a murderer who cannot bear to see you live one single hour. If you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows at every moment are aimed at you, you'd be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible." Dear friends in Jesus, when it seems that you're locked in battle with the enemy you can't overcome, know that he's been overcome by Jesus. Run to him. Go to him. Go where he is found. In his word, in his supper, where he says, "Everything I've done for you. I was baptized for you. I was tempted in the wilderness and did battle with the devil for you. And I have overcome the devil and sin on the cross for you." Jesus is the victor, the rival who can't be beat. Well, thanks be to God for that, that he never loses. That he is the opponent the devil can't match up against. Thanks be to God that we are found in him. And he is found in us, with us, and for us, for all time. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.